All right, Jason Stark joins us. Jason, of course, writes for The Athletic. He is the recipient of the J.G. Taylor Spink Award this year. He will be enshrined in the writer's wing of the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. Jason, how are you?
Marty, I'm good. I thought I did some impressive Christy Mathewson reporting this week, but I did not go to Bucknell.
Yeah, Doug Greenwald is on it, I want to tell you. He is all over it. But you did some very, very good work this week. And, of course, you know, your column, the useless information column, is always
one of the best,
a lot
man.
Of fun
it's
to read.
Best, yeah.
Let's start with Pablo and Christy Mathewson, and then we'll go on to the more serious stuff.
Well, this was important work.
Yes.
You know, Pablo went out and pitched the other day for the second time in his career. He's got a zero ERA, man. He's the only active pitcher with a zero ERA and a zero whip. And let's not quibble with any little qualifiers. That's important. The other thing that I thought was important was, what a day. No runs on the mound, home run at the plate, stolen base on the bases. And, you know, if you're asking yourself, who has done that? The only other player since 1900 who has done that is Christy Mathewson. So I thought, let's compare, do a little tell the tape between the Panda and Christy Mathewson. I dragged Tim Flannery into this. We went through this in 10 important categories. Pablo won 6 of them. It's pretty clear that Pablo's had a greater career than Christy Mathewson, don't you think?
I thought Flann was great. Tim Flannery was great with
always.
This stuff and talking about it. What are some of the categories you compared him in?
Well, I thought the most significant was nickname. Pablo, of course, the Kung Fu Panda, and Christy, the Big Six. But this was a little bit confusing because in Field of Dreams, you know, they called him Matty.
Yeah, yeah.
But I went with the Big Six because it was kind of cool. And then so we had to determine whether Tim Flannery should be authorized to judge this category because it's his fault that Pablo wound up with that nickname, Kung Fu Panda, because one night he waved Pablo home, the throw beat him, and he jumped over the catcher, and Barry Zito decided that his nickname should be Kung Fu Panda. And so I thought, you know, if he's actually responsible for the nickname, he probably should recuse himself from judging this.
From the nickname category, yeah.
What he told me was, I'm responsible if he's out, but if he's safe, I'm not responsible. So I let him slide in that when we gave it to Pablo.
Very good. Jason Stark with us. He writes for The Athletic. And, you know, it's worth the subscription to be part of what Jason does. The column each week is, I guess it's the useless information department. And, of course, Jason handles this stuff, amazing stuff. The walk rate, I guess Pablo didn't walk. Pablo hit somebody.
He hit somebody, yeah.
He hit a guy, but he's never walked anybody. So right. Take that, Christy. Christy Mathewson walked over 800.
Well, Jason, we were just kicking this around a minute ago because if you were to ask me when that happened, who was the last guy to do it, I would have said Babe Ruth is probably the obvious guess because he pitched and he hit. Stolen base would have been tough, but it's tough for Pablo. And then we were talking about some of the lists Pablo's on. He's hit 3 home runs in a World Series game just like Babe Ruth has.
Yeah, he's had a fascinating career, hasn't he?
He's one of the more fascinating players in baseball, I think.
Yeah, he hasn't been a great player. He's not going to be known as an all-time great, but he caught the last out of a World Series. He hit 3 home runs in a World Series game. He steals a base every 7 years. And now it turns out he's a hell of a pitcher. And, you know, I wasn't aware that he could also throw left-handed.
Right.
I'm dying to see that. We got to get him into a game pitching left-handed.
Yeah, that would be Bochy's last moment, I think. If he got to see that. But, and he's got a bobblehead today.
Pablo pitching bobblehead tonight.
Yeah, so. Come on, he's got a bobblehead today. We're going to get you one, I promise.
I've got to have that.
We'll put one aside for you. But he gets a bobblehead tonight and a T-shirt. And Adam and I were talking. talking about it. And again, it's not Tim Lincecum, it's not Matt Cain, it's not Will Clark, but it's kind of a Vogel song. You know, it's kind of the heart of the Giants. And when you look at the 10 or 11 years he's been in the big leagues, however many years it is, he's got a heart for baseball, and he has a heart in San Francisco.
Yeah, and that's one of the special things about the Giants in San Francisco and their fan base, is there's this incredible connection between players and the people who sit in the seats and the people who listen to you and the people who read me and the people who watch these games. And to me, it's almost unlike any other place. In many ways, the philosophy of the Giants in how they've constructed their team in recent years has been built around that to a great degree. This affection between fan base and these players who've done so much winning and done so much stuff that meant so much to the fan base has been important. And that, you know, Pablo Sandoval is a big part of that. Anywhere else, he'd be gone. He'd be playing golf. But it's kind of cool that continues in San Francisco, at least for now.
Jason Stark with us, and I want to hit some stuff from around baseball, Jason. I feel like this is something that would be right out of your useless information department. Edwin Jackson today traded to the Toronto Blue Jays. He now still sitting tied with Octavio Dotel for most uniforms put on at 14 in Major League Baseball history. If he pitches for the Blue Jays, he'll set the all-time record. What do you think of that?
I'm pretty excited about it, man. I used to write a lot about Octavio Dotel and his quest for that record. He was on a lifelong quest to set that record. We had 1 year, he ran through all the trades, all the teams he'd been on, how he was sitting in the lunchroom one day and people started telling him, hey, you just got traded. And nobody had told him. Edwin Jackson has had the same career. And you know, look, he's not going to get known for much else, but who cares?
Yeah.
This is a tremendous slice of life kind of record.
No, it's great. Born in Germany, Edwin Jackson, his first game was against the Giants and beat him, I think, 1-0 on a shutout. And believe it or not, Jason, he's going to pitch here, I'm told, on Wednesday for the Blue Jays against the Giants. How fitting is that?
Wow, that is amazing.
I love it. It's a great part of baseball. Jason Stark with us. Jason, Aaron Althair was claimed by the Giants today. You're back in that neck of the woods. What do you think of Aaron Althair and what happened with him?
Yeah, the last name's pronounced Altair.
Altair, got it. Okay.
Yeah, and, you know, I thought, to be honest with you, this guy was headed for stardom. He's had a lot of injuries, but take a look at his first two healthy seasons. Right, he came up in, I want to say, 2015 and had more extra base hits than singles that year. Then the next year he got hurt the first game of spring training, broke his collarbone, was never right that whole season. Then the following year had another one of those years where his extra base hit percentage was close to 50%. Since then, he's just really lost his way offensively. But there were a number of teams this spring who were interested in either claiming him or trading for him. The Giants obviously were one of them. He's really talented. He can play all three outfield positions at an extremely high level. And he just needs to find that swing that made him look like he was going to be an above average everyday player in the big leagues.
Wow. So a good pickup for the Giants. Aaron Altair.
Well, and you mentioned
a lottery ticket, but he's worth buying that ticket.
Yeah, yeah.
There was an interesting note you gave there. In his first season, more extra base hits than singles. Joey Gallo this week became the first player in Major League Baseball history to hit 100 home runs before he had 100 singles. That's bizarre to me.
I love Joey Gallo.
Jason loves a quirky player, yeah.
I do. This was one of those things. Last year, he was going for back-to-back seasons of more homers than singles, And the only guy who ever had more than one in his whole career was Mark McGwire before Joey Gallo came along. And now he's gone for three in a row. This is exciting to me. But I am warped.
Well, and he hits a lot of home runs. He had 40 each of the last. He's not like a 30-homer guy.
You know, look, he's always going to swing and miss.
Yeah.
You know, and he's the launch angle king, so he's never going to hit a lot of singles unless he learns to bunt or something. But he's a really good outfielder with a really good arm with monster power. And so, there was a time, I think, where people would have looked at him as like a Dave Kingman freak show.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the Rangers have exercised tremendous patience with Joey Gallo, and he's turning into a force.
Yeah, he's turning into a hitter as well, starting to hit the ball as well. Jason Stark with us. Jason, David Montgomery passed away this week, of course, the owner of the Phillies, and you wrote a beautiful column about him. You knew him well. Maybe on the West Coast here, we don't know enough about David Montgomery, but I really would like to hear your thoughts about him and how important he was and is still to the baseball community.
Well, David Montgomery was a special person who lived a dream and worked in baseball for 41 years. And there's a paragraph in the column I wrote that I think sums him up. I said he was the smartest man in the room, and Bud Selig was the first to recognize that. This because David was on every single committee that Bud ever formed, and Bud told me the other day he was usually the first person on it, and so he played this incredible role in labor and labor peace, in expansion, in the schedule, in the wild card, in so many different areas in the sport behind the scenes. But that brings me to the second part of that: the humblest man in the room. Never wanted to stand in front of the cameras and take credit for any of it. And I can recall a couple of times where he'd be in the audience as Bud was announcing something, and Bud would point him out, and Dave would get all embarrassed. Didn't really want any of the credit. Just wanted to make things better. The classiest man in the room. When, John Middleton, who's now the president of the Phillies, told me that David Montgomery probably attended more funerals than any man in baseball. And I can tell you, he attended the funeral of my mom and my dad, which I will never forget. And I've heard so many incredible stories about him since I wrote that piece. People writing to me, telling me, they wrote a letter to the Phillies complaining about something, and the next thing they knew, the president of the team called them and said, if you ever have a problem again, call me. Here's my number. That doesn't happen, right?
No.
And then the final thing, David Montgomery, the nicest man in the room. Lived his whole life in Philadelphia, which is, look, it's the booing capital of the world. And he walked around like a man who never heard a boo. And he's one of the very few people in the history of sports in Philadelphia who, when he walked in a room, everybody in the room was happy to see him. Just a great, great man. It's a loss for those of us who knew him, a loss for the Phillies, and a loss for the whole sport.
Well, I'm very glad you could come on, Jason Stark of The Athletic. A beautiful tribute to David Montgomery. And if you get The Athletic, you can read it. If you don't get The Athletic, get it, just for what Jason contributes. Really, it's wonderful. And, we still have, the interview we did in spring to talk about the J.G. Taylor Spink Award in the Hall of Fame. Honor that you're getting this year. We'll do that when we get closer to the event in July. But congratulations on quite a year for you, and the Pablo thing was outstanding. It's a lot of fun. Pablo and Christy Mathewson, who ever thought we'd be talking like that?
Not Christy Mathewson, I'll tell you.
No, I'll tell you, not at all. He lived with John McGraw. How about that? He lived with the manager. Can Pablo live with Bochy? How about...
I don't know. I don't even want to imagine that.
Right. Bruce, I'm home. Yeah, I don't think so.
No.
All right. Jason, take care of yourself, and thanks for giving us the time.
Hey, I enjoyed it. Thanks so much for having me on, Marty.
All right. That is Jason Stark of The Athletic. How about that?
Good stuff. That is a great article.
How about that?
This information department. How about that?
How was that?
It was great. Jason Stark, one of the best writers in baseball, man. He really does put out a great article weekly with quirky stuff from around the game. He does fun breakdowns like that. And yeah. He's not the classic beat guy that he used to be. He's a lot of fun.
No. And he got fired by ESPN. Come on.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
And, of course, The Athletic grabbed him to, you know, with their luck, they got it done. All right. We've got much more coming up right here on KMBR 680.